So let's finish out. You had a couple more cases, and we really went into these first couple cases in depth so we could sort of explore some basic issues. But these other cases, maybe we can just sort of touch on the key teaching point. It looks really interesting, particularly this 54-year-old lady. I'd like to hear about her.
The 54-year-old woman who had a locally advanced pancreatic cancer, and this was just something that I thought was quite interesting because she had non-metastatic disease, but she had refractory ascites. And we tapped her, and the cytology was negative. But the primary infiltrative pancreatic cancer really caused significant narrowing of her portal vein just through extrinsic compression. And so we started on chemotherapy, but patients who have recurrent ascites, that's just an ongoing issue. They need to undergo paracentesis sometimes on a weekly basis. And just when they reaccumulate, it just affects they're uncomfortable. They can't eat well. Sometimes they can't breathe well. And, you know, my hope always is that, all right, well, if chemotherapy works well, maybe the pressure on the portal vein might be relieved, and maybe that in and of itself may ameliorate the ascites. In her case, after a couple cycles of treatment, that really did not work very well. So we talked at that point about, well, the ascites looks like it's a mechanical issue. It's from portal hypertension. It's from obstruction of your portal vein. Let's engage our interventional radiologists, and let's do a palliative maneuver of actually stenting the portal vein. This patient's case was actually very dramatic in that she went from requiring large volume paracentesis on an almost weekly basis to then not requiring any further paracentesis at all after that stent was placed. It allowed her to go through the rest of her chemotherapy much more comfortably. So that was a big win in terms of a quality of life maneuver.
Any other manifestations of portal hypertension, any varices?
She did not, but absolutely sort of physiologically, it's similar to, you know, someone with cirrhosis. And so the possibility of bleeding varices and things can be a real issue. In her particular case, that was not.
How often do you see ascites from peritoneal seeding?
More commonly than we'd like. And that really is, unfortunately, a bad prognostic indicator. There are some studies where just the presence of ascites, especially one that requires occasional drainage, will be an exclusion criteria. Because of fluid shifts and volume of distribution of drugs, but also because it's a negative prognostic factor. But yes, peritoneal carcinomatosis with ascites, typically managed with serial paracentesis. Occasionally, we'll put in a pleurex catheter just to allow patients to drain on their own. That's obviously fraught with its own potential complications, risks of bacterial peritonitis, leakage around the tube site, etc.
Any issues with differentiating portal hypertension-related ascites from peritoneal seeding? I would assume the portal hypertensive ascites are just transudate and that the seeding is an exudate. Is that the main dividing point?
Yeah. So you can look at sort of that, you know, albumin gradient, although more often we look at we ask the fluid to be sent for cytology. And that's recognizing that occasionally even malignant ascites on the first pass might not show malignant cells, so taking that as a caveat.
Well, that's a great teaching point in terms of palliation, how well this lady did with that stent.